Well, we're here to worship the Almighty God of heaven, one that we heard so much about already, and it is in his name, the name of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I greet you. No other name that I would, under heaven or earth, that I would desire to greet you with. As Nathan said in the Sunday school class, use the words of Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. May that be our motto as we, our worldview, and as we continue to live our life before an almighty God who holds our life in his hands. For a message this morning, I'm here to encourage you and to stir you and to move you on to serve God and to see beyond this world and all the things of this world and what all life encompasses with. But however, we live in a world that is very real. We live in a world that is filled with, well, it's enemy territory. We live in enemy territory, but the kingdom of God is also here. And it's up to us which kingdom we want to belong to. But I do believe that we're in dangerous times. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He begins the chapter there and he said, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I don't profess to know when the end will be. No one does. Not even the angels in heaven tells us. But the apostles in the church age, early church, the birth of the church, even then, they thought they were living in the last days. And they are. And they were, in a sense, that because we look at times and years and, you know, 100 years sounds like a long time and so forth. But I believe that they probably did think that the Lord was going to come back in their lifetime. I'm not sure. But we are living in the last times. There's no question. We're certainly a lot closer to eternity than they were. But, I would say this. The message title, if I'm not sure what you want to call it or what you could call it, but I think of it as this: keeping faith during perilous times. Or a subtitle could be keeping faith during difficult times, because life is not all that easy. Never really has been for the people of God, especially spiritually. But, you know, presently, as I think of the time that I'm living in, that you're living in, there seems to be a lot or a large degree of apprehension, uncertainty, fear about the present and what the future holds. I think that's understandable, especially if we look horizontal, if we were gazing at what's happening and so forth. Many people say that 2020 was not a good year. We just want to get it behind us as quickly as we can. Hopefully 2021 will be much better. But really, will it be? We don't know. But in light of Scripture and how the people of God are to live and what we're called to be, I don't think we can expect 2021 really to be better spiritually. Oh, maybe you'll make a little more money. I'm not sure. But the uncertainty of things, man is troubled by that. I believe we understand why Scripture speaks about a time, especially in the end times, I believe, when men's hearts will fail them for fear. And, you know, in our work, especially in my work, in our work, we're faced day after day with the public and with the business world. And many times in the last year, months especially, people have said, and I've said the same thing, I'm sure, agreed with them, that I wish things would just remain the same. I wish we wouldn't have this volatile market in the business world and so forth. I wish things would just remain the same. That's not the world we live in. And I'm sure my children have gotten tired of it, hearing me say this, but I've always told them that, you know, one thing we can depend on, things will not remain the same. It won't remain the same. That's the world we live in. We live in a changing world. Well, that sounds pretty negative, doesn't it? Well, and the one reason for the negativism, I believe, even in society and a lot, is because of the news media. People thrive or desire negative news. It seems like humanity kind of gravitates toward that. You know, think of your own experience when you hear something negative. It's how the tendency is to just pass it on. Did you hear such and such and such? And what's happening? So forth. Well, I'd like to talk about the other side of it, that Christians, the people of God, we live, we live in a negative world. I think it is. Things are very negative, spiritual and so forth. But there's a positive side for us that far outweighs that. And I think as we gather together to worship, we're here to encourage each other and so forth. But, you know, I believe it's important that we as we share together, that we're encouraged, we're inspired, and in this morning has certainly been an inspiration to me being here. But also not just today, but something for tomorrow and the next day and for the week. Now, we have the Word of God and so forth, but, you know, my prayer is to, Lord, give us something to keep us and to spur us on and to press on. So, how should Christians relate to all these things? It's like Don said this morning, what's your worldview? That's a loaded question. It's an important question. But again, I think it was summed up so well in Paul's words that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, that's everything. If you have that, you have everything. Well, in relation to, I mentioned about the view of society and so forth, that 2020 was not a good year. Perhaps we ought to ask ourselves, what has it taught us as Christians? What have we learned from it? Have you learned anything? Have I learned anything? What has it taught? Can we see God's hand working in all this? Everything that's, as we say, that's outside, that's in the kingdom of darkness. Can we see God's hand even working in those things? I believe we can. I believe if we're a spiritual people, if we are a spiritual people and our citizenship is in heaven, I think we see the hand of God working. You mean even in all these negative things, as we say? Yeah, I think so. And I think it should really do something for us as Christians. Hopefully, it has helped us to anchor more deeply and more solidly on the rock that does not move. And so this morning, as we think of the changing world, and as we think how fickle the world is, and the things of this world, the tangible things are, that hopefully it has anchored us more deeply, and we have embraced more deeply, we have laid a hold on a God that does not change and a God that does not move. And that's what I'd like to highlight in the message here as we share together. It's been said that our mind is perhaps the greater battleground in times of stress and uncertainty. The more uncertainty there is, the more we think of what all could happen. And we tend to think of the worst case scenarios. I do. We think of what all could happen. But all this does, really, it just adds more to our stress and worry about what's going to happen. Don mentioned about Nolan Byler feeling sorry for the younger generation. We understand that. But life has never really been easy. And what we need to impart as encouragement, as a message, as an incentive to the young generation and to those coming on, that there's a God that will keep us, and there's a God that doesn't change, and he will keep us, and he will make a way for his people. He always has for those who are faithful. And so we want to convey that. If our message is that we just feel sorry for you young people, that's not really encouraging, is it? Of course not. You have something to live for. You have something to work for. You have something to hold on to. You have something to embrace, and something that's far greater than anything else that a negative society or news media can offer you. And so, I would like to remind us this morning, stir up our minds, putting you in remembrance, as Peter said in 2 Peter, to the fact that in the midst of uncertainty, there are things that are certain. There are things that are sure, things that will not change, things that remain. We can know those things. We can know the eternal God and his eternal word. And I have two main points I want to highlight in this message to again just remind us and encourage us and inspire us and to cause us to rise up and build and carry forth a message to a world that is fearful, a world that is in doubt and deeply troubled by the uncertainty and all those things. We're not immune to that, by the way. We have to deal with that too. But we can overcome those things, and we, by the grace and power of God, we will overcome and be victorious by the blood of the Lamb. So the first point I want to highlight here is the immutability of God, or that God is unchanging. We don't use the word immutability a lot, or immutable, but it simply means unchanging. God does not change. Well, we might say we know that. But do we really know that? And what does it do for you? What does it do for us if we really know that? And beginning with the first text is here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. This is what it says: "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth the garment. And as the vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Wonderful. I think of people that I knew, that I've known, that have long gone, have faded away. Think of them in their prime of life, some of them, when they were well and healthy and looked like they had a long life ahead. But today they're gone. They faded away. And their flesh has failed. Their bodies have failed, and they've passed on, just the same as every one of us will. Every one of us will have our turn here in that as well. But it says here, thy years shall not fail. God is the same. if you could put him in a person of a physical body like we do, someone in their prime, God would always be in his prime. Think about that. He'd always be in his prime. There'd be no aging. Thy years shall not fail. I think that's just so wonderful. And then in Psalms 90, verse 2, the psalmist simply says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Power-packed verse. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Remember that. All of us, young people, remember that. God does not fail. His years do not fail. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's no disputing like we have here in the earth. Even among ourselves at times, you know, what's what and this is that and where are the lines here and so forth. Nothing like that. There's no disputing. His word is settled. I can't change it. No one can change it. Nations can't change it. People have tried to change it and say, well, it means this or that, such and such. Doesn't change. Man can say what he wants. Man it seems, if you lived 50, 100 years ago, I would expect that that generation, if they were alive today and they could speak to us, they would look at, you know, situations and things that we have to deal with. They would probably say, well, has the gospel changed? I remember one dear old brother a number of years ago told me in some of his last days, he said he was at a family reunion. And as he beheld everyone there and the diversity and all and everything that he beheld and things that had changed, he finally said to someone, who was right, our fathers or the generation today? You know what the answer was? We're both right. Is that right? Well, I'm not sure what all you can read into that or what all is meant to that. But the word of God is settled. There's no disputing. Man has disputed it and done all kinds of things with it and continues to do that and will continue to do that, I'm sure, to the end of time. But remember, the word of God is settled. Here is the truth, and this is what you go by. This is what you go by. You don't go by what things have changed and so forth, and things in the earth have changed, and situation ethics and all those things. You don't go by that. This is what's settled. There's no disputing, nothing on that. It's wonderful. And I think it's something that I could do much better when people, even in the business world, wish things would just remain the same. Would to God that we would remember to say, well, you know, there is one thing that remains the same, and that's God, and that's his eternal word. It'd be a good answer for any of those things. But many times we're so encompassed by, you know, what we have to deal with and how to navigate our way through all these changes and make things pay and not lose money and so forth, that we don't want to be of the world, and yet our frame of mind is often not that different when it comes to, you know, our business. I trust there is a difference, but I think you know what I'm saying. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand. Peter quoted that or referred to those words in 1 Peter, verse 25. He went on to say, this is the word of the gospel that's preached to you. That's what we preach, the word of God that is unchangeable, that stands forever. James refers to God as the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I like that Father of Lights. It kind of caught my attention there. The world looks so dark. Situations maybe look so uncertain and so dark. But we look to God the Father, and He's the Father of Lights. Lights in our countenance, our life, is lit up by the Father of Lights. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No diversity there. It is God is who He is, and He will forever be God. And finally, then, we have the verse there in Malachi. I think we're well familiar with that. God said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." It's final. That's fixed and settled. So remember that, dearly beloved. This morning, brothers and sisters, remember that. You have something that's solid, that's an anchor, that will not change, that is fixed, forever settled in heaven. Many more verses that we could look at this morning. But I'm moving on to the second thing I want to highlight as a theme here. I want to think about the things that we can know for sure. I talked about the immutability of God. In perilous end times, in times of uncertainty, there are certain things that we can know for sure. Of course, as I mentioned, the eternal God and His eternal Word. But I'm referring to the promises and the Scripture that gives us positive, clear answers, things that we can know. We don't have to second guess. There's things that we can know. I like the verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. One of my favorite verses. When Paul just injects that as he speaks to the church there at Corinth, he says, "God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. And that verse has just blessed me many, many times. I've struggled, and you wrestle with things. And just remember, God is faithful. He's faithful. He'll always be there. Psalm 119, verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." Again, He is always there. Generations come and generations go. But He's faithful to all generations. It wasn't that the generations back there, God was a little more faithful. He gave them more or whatever. I'm not sure how to properly terminalize, what the Old Testament and the New Testament and so forth. It does seem to me like we have much more than the saints in the Old Testament had, the believers, because of what all God has given us. I think we're the most informed, the most privileged, the most blessed generation. I believe we are. Maybe that's why Satan is working so hard and overtime and whatever, however you want to say it, with all the evil, because he knows we have so much. What more could God do for us than what He has done? I don't know. It's there. We have that which the saints, as it tells us, the Old Testament saints, they looked forward to, and they looked forward to what we have today. They knew the promise. They knew there was something coming yet, the Messiah that they didn't have yet. And yet they died in faith. And this morning we have that and everything else that God has added. Surely faith should not be that difficult, should it? Understand, we have probably the forces of darkness, I expect. Maybe more intense today than they ever were. Because the Bible says, it tells us in Revelations, that the devil, "Woe to those who live in the earth." And this doesn't sound very positive, but understand what you've got this morning to deal with this. Woe to those that are on earth, because the devil has come down in great wrath, for he knows he has little time. The devil knows his time is coming to an end. That in itself should be a consolation to us. It will not always be that way. But God is faithful. God will provide for us what we need in whatever generation we find ourselves. I'm convinced of that. This was an Old Testament scripture, but find this. God spoke this to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. How many generations has there been since the beginning of time? Anyone know? I mean, if we take 30 years, more or less, as a generation, which is what society would use somewhat in that, there's only been 200 generations since Adam. He says 1,000 generations. We've got a long time to go yet before his faithfulness runs out. But it will never run out. Please bear with me. God's faithfulness never run out. He's just giving us that. The Word of God just gives us that to again remind us the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God is from everlasting to everlasting. It never ends. You notice the word covenant, which keepeth covenant. Did you notice that? You know what a covenant is? What does that mean? It means a pledge, a promise, a contract. God does not go back on his word. He's not like, there's a scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, where it says, God is not like man that he lies and, you know, backs out. He reneges on his contracts. God, it says here, that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Still got 800 generations to work on there and much more beyond that. God is faithful. I believe it's simply saying that his faithfulness and his mercy and his covenant extends as long as time will go. Thinking about things that are secure, things that we can know for certain. I'm not sure where all Job got his information, but this is what Job said when he was in the midst of trials and some of the darkest days of his life. We know the account. But in spite of that, this is what Job said. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Those are things that we can know for certain. Isn't that wonderful? You know, every one of us, unless the Lord comes back, doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, our manner of burial is, you know what it is. But someday, unless our manner of burial changes something, worms are going to eat and consume this body and your body as well. It's just the way it'll be. It can't keep us from God and his promises, the things that are certain. That's what Job was saying. He said, "Even though worms eat my body," he said, "yet I know I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth." And you can keep that, you know, keep that in focus. Keep that as your worldview. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." That's another very positive worldview. And that someday we shall see God. "Mine eyes," he said, "shall behold God," even in spite of the fact that worms will consume our physical bodies. We'll have other bodies. I'm not sure how that will all be. But we're obviously going to be where we can see God. We can know that this morning in 2021, in the midst of a time of uncertainty. Isaiah 26, verse 4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That again is so powerful and so wonderful. That your strength, spiritual strength, even though physically, I'm not near as strong physically as I was 30, 40 years ago. But that really is, that's beside the point. Spiritually, I hope I'm stronger than I ever was. And we can be that way. We can be spiritually, we can be stronger than ever. That is something that our spiritual strength can continue to grow. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When Brother Lloyd Troyer told me when he lay over in Geisinger Medical Center for a month, and medical, everyone, my wife and I had visited there. I told my wife when we left, it's probably the last time I ever see Lloyd Troyer alive. Well, today, he is still with us. God has chosen to preserve his life. But Lloyd told me, he said, one of the things that just went through my mind again and again as I lay there those long days and weeks was just, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he could sense the divine presence of God. His voice was gone, and he was, you know, almost just a shell. And yet, he could claim that, the certainty of that verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That verse, beloved, is something that we need to hold on to. Maybe you think this morning, well, I can pretty much make it my way. Listen, there'll be a day coming, there'll be a time coming. If you don't sense the need of it this morning, you will sense the need of that. You will sense the need of that. You've heard me say in my own journey with my sickness, there was some very, very deep dark valleys. But I can testify this morning, I never once felt forsaken of God. Didn't know where this all would end up at. And I still don't know. I'm not certain. But there are things that we can know for certain. And that's what we need to hold on to, things that we can know for certain. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, he says it twice, the question is asked there, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" Why are you struggling? Why are you cast down? The psalmist says here. And I'm sure David experienced that many, many times. He struggled and struggled. Can you imagine? He struggled, and how his inner being was in a turmoil and was disquieted. We face those things. If you haven't faced it yet as a young person, you're going to face it. You face those things. You struggle with those inside feelings and so forth. But he goes on and says that both times when that question is raised there, why art thou cast down and why art thou disquieted? The answer is, hope thou in God. Put your hope in God. That's why. If you find yourself, you're not above those struggles. Please understand, that's part of the temptations. But you don't need to give in to those struggles. You don't need to succumb to those struggles. Put your hope in God. Hope in God. That which is sure, that which is certain. Don't dwell on the things of uncertainty and worry, but put your hope in God. Those verses there, and those that is often spoken to me there in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down when I struggled? Why art thou disquieted? Why am I struggling? Why am I cast down? Where's my hope? Put my hope in God. Goes on to say, who is the health of my countenance. You can see it on people's faces. You can see it. And that's why I think we observe each other's countenance at times, and we don't always read it right, I understand that. But I think if we see a countenance that looks troubled, we do well. And we should ask each other, are things well, brother? Are things well, sister? What are you struggling with? Because it's, as the psalmist says, it's the health of our countenance. The countenance of people conveys so much. There's the story told of the gold rush. The 49ers, you know your history, you know what I'm talking about. You know, these miners, they would pan and they would bring their findings in and see whether it was false gold or fake gold. Or there is that thing. I don't know much about mining. But the story goes that one day there was this old miner went in, and lo and behold, he had the real thing. Of course, there's other miners around there too. And so when he found out he had the real thing, he left. The other miner saw his face and said, "He's got it. I can see it on his face." And they followed him. He's got it. Isn't that a lesson for us? Can you look at your face and I can say, "Daniel, any of you there, you've got it. I can see it in your face." I think we've experienced that. I know I have. You could tell, go on and on about those kind of things. But when life seems to be falling apart, God will hold it together for you. If you only asked him, if you allowed him. You know that? When life seems to be falling apart. You'll probably have those experiences if you haven't had them already. When life kind of felt like it was just coming apart. You didn't know whether you could be able to keep the pieces together. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Turn it over to him. God loves to take those pieces of our heart or our life, and he will put them together for us. And we can have hope and refuge. The people of God, beloved, we can have a settled peace during unsettled times. We can have a settled peace. God wants us to. Matthew 7, Jesus is the verses there where Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." That scenario is something that we all want, isn't it? I wouldn't build a house down in Florida or somewhere on the sand and the beach there. Or anywhere where there's sandy mounds. I've read recent, or in the last year, I think, where some of those expensive homes have suffered damage and destruction because of where they were built. My point is, don't allow your life, my life, to suffer because of where and what you're building on. It will if we build on the tangible things that keep changing and so forth. But build on things that you know are certain, on the rock of God. Notice when Jesus, in that verse, he said that hears someone is listening and someone that does. It's a hearing and a doing the things of God. When you do those things, it's like building on a rock, on that solid rock. And then when the storms of life come, and when life seems to be falling apart, you're built on that rock. Built on that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your personal life, in your home, in the church. So important that we do that. Think of the Apostle Paul and his words there to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul had suffered many afflictions and trials. But he wrote to Timothy, said, "I am not ashamed of those things that I went through for the gospel." He said, "I'm not ashamed because," and this is the reason, listen to what he says, "for I know whom I have believed." I know what I've built on. I know whom I've believed. "And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Isn't that wonderful? When you can say that, have that testimony. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to struggle with all these uncertainties. Not if we know who we've believed and who we've built, what we're building on, and what we've committed our life. We commit the cares of life, even our tangible things. We commit that all to God, and we can trust in God. We commit that all to him. We know who we've believed. We know who we've built on, and we're convinced. Are we not? That God is able to keep that which we've committed to him. 1 John 5:13. John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." You know, isn't that wonderful? Clear scriptures. "And that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." Once something that you can know, when you build on the Word of God, you can know that you have eternal life. It's not, you don't have to be in doubt and fear, but you can know those things. John writes very clearly. As a closing verse, I'm just going to give you this verse. And there's so much that we can embrace spiritually and put our arms around if we only will in the times of uncertainty. There's so much certain things in the time of uncertainty that we can embrace and keep for our very own. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Listen to what this says. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Have you received? Are you living in that kingdom which cannot be moved, which does not change? Beloved friends, brothers and sisters, we need that. That's what we need for the 21st century. And for the year 2021, if we have that, if that's the kingdom we're in, it's going to be a better year. It'll just continue to get better until we get to the end of life. A kingdom which cannot be moved. It's hard to fathom, isn't it? The kingdom of God is unchanging. It is certain in a world of uncertainty. All the combined forces, all the powers of the world can never move or change that kingdom. Let's kneel for prayer.